Unrule. I always got to keep my mind. It's hard for me because it rhymes with unruly. I mean, you got to keep unruly in there. So unrule or something. Anyway, and it just throws me. I mean, he's a good guy. I hate to think about him being unruly, but I'm sure he is from time to time. But Ken is in charge. He's the director of our men's ministry at East River. Amazing man. Graduate of Multnomah Bible College. He's a man's man, which is the kind of person you want leading men's ministry, because we're about developing strong biblical men, right? None of these wimps. Amen? Amen. Ken, come on up and speak to us. Let's welcome him, if you would.
Thank you. It's a privilege. Am I on? It's a privilege to be able to stand before you. I think so, yep. New to this stuff. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we ask for your words. We ask for your Holy Spirit to speak through me and speak to all of these awesome people in our family. Awesome people that have come here tonight. Lord, I pray that you open their hearts and their minds to see the miracle of your kingdom and what it means. The miracle of what that kingdom can mean to them. Lord, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you that you have us all here specific on purpose. And we pray that you bless our time. Open the filters of their hearts. Jesus, thank you in your holy precious name. Amen. I want to start out, it's like I got a party going on in my head right now. That worship was so amazing. And the thought is coming. I'm going to talk to you about my favorite verse, my life verse: seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these, and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to it, added to you. But what's rattling around in my head, the party that's going on in my head that we sang about, how important this is about the kingdom of darkness. We talked about that in intermission. Kind of left that out in the first service. This is pretty cool stuff, because we're going to talk about how Jesus brought this about. He talks about it, he emphasizes it, and we need to make sure that we're being very respectful for that. And it's very powerful. I go, we're entering into this conversation is very, very powerful, talking about the kingdom. You experience it here in worship. It doesn't get any better than that. But actually, yes, it will. I want to start out with a picture of that of my family. This isn't a self-serving picture. This is was taken in August at my daughter's wedding. I put this up there because it has a lot to do with, you know, me, who I am, but it also has a lot to do with the kingdom. All of these people up there in my family will be a force against that kingdom of darkness. Okay? Every one of them, down to the prophetic things that have been planted in those grandkids' hearts. They're all saved. My oldest boy, the tall one on the left, he's a pastor up in Bothell. The other one on the other side over here, again, is over in Bend. He has a calling of literally, this is what I say his calling is, you know, what God's working on him, and that starting a house church. Amazing man, pastor's heart. Both of their wives are just God sent, listen to the Holy Spirit big time. My oldest, the tallest one, she's an ordained pastor as well. Like you heard earlier, these people are all sent into their lives. My daughter in the wedding dress is waited for her man 10 years, a long time. I mean, and she was, you know, there was times that she questioned, but and the amazing man came to her. And so she is 9 months in this country, and then she'll go third world as a doctor. The doctor thing itself, if you knew me, I come on, I I'm married to an awesome wife that I've invested a lot of money in. I'm not a guy that has a lot of money. But that happened. Okay, it's the kingdom. It's in charge. And everything's in control. They're going to go over there and do amazing things. And that's not to speak of what's going on in the with the grandkids. The idea behind this is the reason I'm not sitting here bragging on this. But what I do is God's showing off here. Not me. He's just showing off of what he can do with people. Let alone us, me. We got married. So when I bring up the subject about seek ye first the kingdom of God, I have to ask you a question. What's the most valuable thing that you ever pursued or ever invested in? What do you count so valuable that you would seek it, look for it? That's a question you have to ask yourself. I know what it was for me. And she sits right over there. That is someone that I found to take a path in the kingdom. And we've been married 41 years. I go, my best friend. But more importantly than that is that's why I show the picture. Look at what two people who put this seek ye first in place. We're not perfect. Don't even go there. I mean, if I gave my wife a voice and if she wasn't too afraid to stand up here and preach, she could tell you some stories. So we're not perfect, but in our hearts, we pursued that. Okay? In our hearts, we pursued that. So we get to look at some things about the kingdom. And I want to start off, worship is so amazing. We started off with it's like it preached this. It preached what I'm, and you know, Steve and me, we don't talk and figure out things and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus' first preaching words were, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? So, first preaching words. Now, the way was paved for him by John the Baptist. And by John the Baptist, I mean that he was the Elijah that paved the way for his coming. But here's what's really blows me away. He gets done preaching those words. He goes right out, Sea of Galilee, and he's healing. He gets his disciples. He proclaims the gospel, good news for the kingdom of heaven. He preaches that kingdom is coming. Why is that good news, by the way, to the Jewish people that were in the area? It's good news because they thought it was going to come in a different form. In a dominant, forceful, kick the Romans out form. They wanted to be dominant as a people. And the good news is he goes and does all this stuff. Heals every disease. I'm emphasizing every disease. I'd be like us, him walking through here and walking through Hillsboro, walking through Beaverton and healing everybody he comes into contact. It wasn't that they were better or saved or any of that kind of stuff. He just did it. You know, epilepsy, affliction, cast out demons, every disease. Cast out demons who does this? I mean, he doesn't know these people. Great crowds started to follow him. Great crowds started to flock towards him. And he was so popular. His fame spread. I want to switch to his most profound statement when he said, was before Pontius Pilate. Pretty profound words were going on there. The greatest trial of all time, you know, guys being tried and he's not even guilty. He said, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. He's saying this before Pilate. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. I'm going to say that again, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone is of the truth, listens to my voice. He's talking about absolute truth here, okay? Witness to the truth. He's talking about his kingdom. It's real. And there's a way to be a part of it. And he says it in such a way that Pilate actually walks away, and he's Pilate. And he goes, what is truth? Now, in the middle of this, there is an event that I want to emphasize, because it really has to have some merit about where we go from here. Jesus is joined by Elijah and Moses in a transfiguration. And during that time, a cloud envelops over him, and God Almighty speaks out of the cloud, and he goes, this is my son, of whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Okay. Now, when I say listen to him, I go, that's tough. Listening is an attribute that we're not very good at. Okay? A lot of times we want to talk before somebody's even done finished saying what they say. But here Jesus is asking, or excuse me, God the Father is asking us to listen to Jesus. That's why I love Red Letter Bibles, honestly. Because when that happens, I'm all over it. Because it sparks. I go, Jesus said this. So we come back to the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to camp a little bit in chapter 6. But before we do that, I want to set the stage about what the Sermon on the Mount and just how it's looking. Remember, I said that he went and healed every disease. Okay. And he's touching these people. He had this fame. So these people are starting to follow him. So when he comes to the Sermon on the Mount, the scene is this. It could have been portrayed that he was standing like I am to you right now. And speaking out would have been received more like commands, I would think. And in these commands, that would be received differently. But no. He sits down on the mountain, and it says that he took this posture and he sat. Now, the difference is much, much, very relational. And he taught and taught them. So when we approach chapter 6, where we're going to take the what is before, seek ye first, he's really doing this out of amazing love. He is wanting to reach these people in such a way that reaches them and helps them to understand that he wants to be relational. This is Jesus incarnate, Jesus that is speaking this. So we get into chapter 6, and the first things that he's talking about here in chapter 6 is three things. He talks about three areas: prayer. And he talks about, giving, prayer, and fasting. Three tenets that were really a part of Eastern culture. Not only part of Judaism, as part of what they did, okay, but it was also part of other cultures, their other religions. So what he was upset about here, understand his posture, what he was upset about, he went through all the kind of the do's and don'ts, divorce. He talked about areas of, getting revenge, don't smack around your brother when you want to get back at him, those areas. But he comes to this part and he really gets, I'm going to say, right down to it, because he's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the religious people that are leading them in spiritual matters, okay? Quote unquote spiritual. We were saying about it, religion. Get rid of this religion. He's talking to them about being able to identify what he expects out of the kingdom. There are three things. And in Scripture, when you have things that are repeated three times, I don't know if you knew this, but when something's repeated, truly, 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 verily, 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 holy, 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 when things are repeated three times, that means I really want you to notice this big time. I want you to understand I'm making a point here. So he talks about one thing. It's called hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is something that, you know, makes me mad. But yet at the point that when I'm pointing to somebody else, that thumb's pointing right back at me. You know, I got to make sure that I'm not that person. But he's talking about the hypocrisy of being able to, when you're doing things, you want to bring attention to yourself. All three examples. When they would give, he says, I don't want you to, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving me may be in secret. Okay? He wants them to give with this heart that is just give. That's what the kingdom's about. And then he says something really cool, and he says it three times. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Secrets are pretty cool. Kinda. But you always tell them to somebody you really, really like and love. Really love. You trust them with it. I get together with Gary every other Thursday. We're you know, kind of, you know, finding out how we're doing. And so I could go over to Gary and I'd tell him a secret because I love the guy. I go, so understand what he's saying here. He's saying, he goes, and Herberg, I love you too, just to let you know. I wasn't leaving you out. Just want to make sure. Sorry. But he wants that for us. Okay. He wants this for, as we are following in his kingdom, he wants us to have that secret place with him. In other words, that secret place that is just ours. Me and Jesus. So in the area of giving, he wants that. So in the area of prayer, it gets even cooler. Because he talks about go into your room and shut the door. The room, the Hebrew word there, connotates a treasure room where you store treasures. Go figure. Anybody see War Room? Yeah, the hands? Oh, come on. You guys got to go see War Room. I guarantee it messed me up big time. Absolutely messed me up. I mean, my heart, I mean, I went with my wife. I always said, you know, but it convicted me on just, you know, that area. Here's that treasure room that they showed on that deal, the same. Doesn't have to be a room. I love the OSL example, and I'm in OSL. By the way, I took notes on the sermon in the first. I don't have to do it now, so I already took notes. And I got it written down. I actually called up. Bruce is my coach. I'm going to bug him. I haven't seen him for two services now. But the really cool thing about OSL is that it was Pastor. He's a coffee lover. I'm a coffee lover. I love to have coffee with Jesus. By the way, we have coffee with Jesus every Friday morning, and it's great coffee. And we have coffee with Jesus. And it is a meeting with Jesus in this secret room. See? Is that cool or what? You want to talk about that kind of love entering into that room, and then let's talk about the kingdom of darkness? Okay. Get out of town. Kingdom of darkness. Things happen. So, now we get into fasting, and I'm going to come back to the Lord's Prayer in just a bit. Into fasting, again, we don't do a lot of fasting. I mean, it's culture. We just don't. It was a habitual for them to, pick a day, or they'd have several. Day of Atonement was one of those that they'd fast. But it was regular. It is a good habit. I love OSL. I mentioned I was a student, right? I love OSL because I'm fasting. By the way, I don't even know what the Duck score is. I'm a big Duck fan, and I don't care. And so don't scream out the score, because I'll kick you out. But it's been awesome to go through this season that we're fasting. We've been watching a lot of worship videos. And we've, you know, explored different ones. I love Bethel. I love Carrie Joby. I love her, her YouTubes. I don't know if anybody's heard of Sons and Daughters. Man, I'm hooked. I mean, they are awesome. But the idea is that look at what I look what's going on there, you know, in the fasting. But what he asked there, again, same thing. I want your heart when you do that. When you're really trying to press into me, I want your heart to be in that secret, because I'll reward you in secret. I don't want you telling everybody about it. There's no need for it. So we get back to the, I want to get back to the Lord's Prayer. In this relationship, he wants us to commune with him. He wants us to absolutely, like we break bread and we drink the wine to remember. That's a commune with him. He wants it that kind of relational. We're supposed to ask him about anything. You can see in the Lord's Prayer that tell him everything in the treasure room. It's a secret room. So he goes, he says, and I think this is so cool, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So pray them like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or may your name be kept holy, is another translation. I like that. And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Give us this day our daily bread. Wait a minute. I got to stop there, because this always makes me pause. He just told us, he goes, do not be like that. Your Father already knows what you need. So why do we have to ask about daily bread? Why do we have to ask about sending workers into the harvest? Isn't it God's will? We ask because he wants this relationship that is intimate and personal. See, Jesus, that's if you take it how he came on the scene, Jesus wants that with each of us. So when you ask him about, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we've been forgiven our debtors, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You don't think you could have a conversation about your addictions or your struggle with them? Sure, ask him, Lord, help me. Your addiction to pornography, your addiction to sports, ask him. He wants that relationship with you. So, and he wants it to be really, really personal. So then we get into some very cool things. We're talking about the kingdom. And he goes, he later says, interesting, I have it a little out of line, but I know where I'm at. There's two, can you go to the next one? Next slide. There's two examples that I want to give you about the kingdom. And those two examples are this. One of them, I came through my journaling, and it's in Acts 2. And it's a picture about the kingdom that that I think really hits home. The idea about the kingdom and just how it affected the people, the early believers. And Peter is preaching here after Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's fallen down on them. They're transformed big time, and they are they're just new people. And in this time, other people are watching. And then as they're watching, he goes, he's preaching about the good news, and then he says, "I heard." Now when they heard this. When they heard this good news, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." He goes on to say later on, and he goes, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000. And then it gets really interesting. Okay, they're confronted with the kingdom. They're new people, a new creation. And he goes, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were driven to fellowship, they were driven by sharing, and they were driven by prayers. What's interesting is we experience that here tonight. We experience the fact that we entered into worship, and we entered into this time, and there's nothing like it. The trouble is that we need to let other people know who are trapped by the kingdom of darkness about this. We need to let them know that this exists and this is what they can be part of. If you're part of OSL, you're part of doing that. You're part of getting people involved. And so this transformation goes over them, and they, again, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters to them at all. There's another verse, another portion that happens in Acts, and it has to do with Saul. I love the story about Saul. Saul is this amazing man, height of his career. He's like the greatest theologian of all time in that day. Sat at the front row of Gamaliel. He got everything he wanted. If he wanted to get a license to do things, he would just go out and ask them and they would do it. His zeal was forever beyond anything else as far as his ruthlessness against the Christians. He was there at Stephen's stoning. Coats were laid. He approved of it. So Saul is this guy that is just a nasty dude. He's not... There's nothing that you and me would say, you know, I want him to take the good news to the Gentiles. So he's walking on his way, and he comes to a meeting with Jesus. Jesus strikes him with light, and his buddies are all they're hearing is a voice, but they don't know what's going on. And Paul is blinded. 3 days fasting, no water, no bread, no food, anything. And in this time, he has obviously a lot of time to think. But what he's encountered with is the love of the kingdom, the love of righteousness, the love of Jesus. He's again confronted by that. His first things when the scales fell off his eyes, he was visited by Ananias, and Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul," imagine Ananias, he knows who this dude is. He knows who Saul is. And he comes and he goes, "Brother Saul," and it must have been hard words to say, "the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes. He regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. And taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." That's an amazing story. You wonder or trust the fact that we have power against the kingdom of darkness. We have Jesus, and we have the Spirit of the living God living inside us, speaking through us, helping us to say any words we need. Saul is encountered with the kingdom immediately. Saul proclaimed Jesus as the Son of God. So we come to a slide that I skipped, and that was Trajan. And so I'm going to go back to that. We talk about Trajan, and this came right after a couple things that we talked about, and the Trajan that he that Jesus was trying to teach was there's different treasure that is important. I want you to learn about the treasure that is important to me. Don't store it for yourselves. Treasure is here. I want you to store up eternal treasures. Excuse me just a second. I don't want you to store treasures here because moth and rust will destroy and thieves will break and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that when you seek first the kingdom of God, that you just have to, you have to forget about all these other things. That has nothing to do with what I'm saying. But what he is saying is there's different treasures. Jesus is trying to tell them desperately, outside of making sure that they're really looking at their heart, is treasure of righteousness, the treasure of community, and the treasure of love and commune with the Father, but more importantly, the treasure of God's love. We experience God's love when we get together here. We experience community when we get together here. There is nothing more valuable. So when we get back to where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, there's the last part, and all these things will be added to you. So the question is trust. You have this intimate relationship with the Lord. You're able to meet him in the secret place. You're able to have communion with him, and you are in the kingdom. And here is this time that you have this question, and that is, he asks you not to worry about what you eat or drink. He asks you about, don't worry about your life, don't worry about your clothes or how you look. You know, focus on me, and I'll take care of all the rest. It's worked for me as long as I've been in the kingdom. I mean, my wife and myself, again, have experienced it in just a mighty way. So the question that I have to ask you, I go, are you staunch enough to trust? You want to open your heart enough to be able to trust Jesus and what he does? Are you willing to open your heart enough to say, yeah, I want that. I want Jesus. I want that, and I want to trust in him. Outside of that, you have lots of examples of people that we're surrounded by that have experienced that, going from brokenness to that new creation. You're surrounded by them. Hebrews, it calls it a great cloud of witnesses. You're surrounded by it. I pray that you have the opportunity to be able to wrestle with that. I pray that you would be able to consider that. And after service, there'll be people to pray with you. I just want to close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, I pray that you open the hearts of people who are seeking. I pray that you open the hearts of people that are looking for something awesome, this new life in the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray that you give them the courage to say, yes, I believe in you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you that you will comfort them. Lord, the Holy Spirit, will you speak to them as they are where they're at and as they go? And I pray this in your holy, precious name. Amen.